9 past 3, Steve Salisbury. G'day, mate.
Tone.
How are you, big fella?
I'm good. I've been watching football all last couple days.
Hey, can I tell you, I've been watching a bit too.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Talk to me. What did
Thoroughly
you see?
Enjoyed it.
What did you see? What did you like?
I think we're supposed to, I used to be a Redskins fan.
Okay.
Used to be. Until the 90s and the early 2000s and that, when they just did nothing.
Well, I jumped off. They did win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, they did, yeah.
But see, the whole point about...
I jumped off, though.
The point about being a fan is you don't jump off.
Tom. Well, I did.
You stick
And I went to the New Orleans Saints, only because I went over to New Orleans just after Katrina. And when the Saints won the Super Bowl, I saw exactly what they did for that city and how the city was pumping on the back of their team winning a Super Bowl.
That's right.
And I thought, this is just great. Get involved with this. This is huge.
It was good.
I was watching that Redskins game today, and I'm thinking, against the Packers, and I'm thinking, hang on, my love for the Redskins is coming back. I can feel red coming back through the veins.
Did you start to feel it? You got that tinge?
I did, and then, bang.
Like bumping into a lost, like an old girlfriend that you knew 20 years ago, and you're like, oh.
And then, man. Bang.
Yeah, the game
It was like
today,
I was kicked between the legs.
Oh, so there were four games.
It hurt.
Yes, did it hurt to see them lose the way they did? There were four games, and I said, Tone, when I looked at them, I said, you know what? The road team is going to win each of the four games.
You did?
I did. And if you go back to yesterday, the first game played was the Chiefs, went down to Houston, Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
Ironically, do you know that the Kansas City Chiefs were initially the Dallas Texans?
Were they really?
They were.
Before the Houston Texans?
They moved to Kansas City, became the Chiefs.
Did they get taken there by a tornado?
They did not. I think they probably, back in those days, they probably would have gone.
Did they like click their heels and they just
by
ended
motor,
up?
Probably by motorcade, I guess they would have probably gone up there. But the Oilers were the team in Houston, and then they went to Tennessee, became the Titans, and the league felt bad for the city of Houston, gave them a team. The team was called the Texans. So you actually had the Texans yesterday playing the Texans.
Because the NFL actually own the franchises, don't they?
No, they do not.
Do they own the names? Franchise names, I should say.
You know what? That's a very good question, one that somebody could probably could Google and tell us. I don't believe that they do. They own – so the NFL owns the
– because I think you find over here the AFL actually own like things such as the Richmond – Tigers, that name is actually owned by the AFL, the IP behind it.
And it may well be owned by the NFL as well. But what you've seen happen in different occasions is, say, the Cardinal. Like, a lot of teams will move cities. And we will talk about the teams going to L.A. because there's three teams that have petitioned to go to L.A.
Cool.
What will happen is sometimes a team will move cities and they'll take the name with them, which I believe that the team name should stay with the city. That's what I've always believed.
Yeah.
So I think that when the St. Louis Rams left L.A., they should have left the Rams name in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So if a new team, like if the league were to have put an expansion club into L.A., that team could be called the Rams. Mm. So I think it's good. I mean, the Cleveland Browns, you're looking at the Cleveland Browns today, that's a new Cleveland Browns. The old Cleveland Browns are in Baltimore. And they left the name in Cleveland, which I thought was
Cleveland.
Was nice. Yeah. So anyway, so the Chiefs yesterday beat the Texans 30-0.
That was just a whitewash.
It was, and
what we saw
from the Chiefs is that they're the hottest team in football. They're solid in all three phases of the game: good offensively, good defensively, very good in special teams. They are coming to play, and they're under the radar. They've won 11 straight games, and I think they're probably one of the least respected teams in the playoffs.
106-yard return punt by Noel Davis to kick off the game. That wasn't too bad.
That wasn't too bad. That's a good way to start a game.
Yeah.
So they came out firing, the Chiefs did, and it's amazing. That team was 1-5. They won their first game, lost 5 straight, have won the last 11. And I believe, Tony, that next weekend when they play New England, they will go in there and they will beat New England. I think a lot of it depends on whether or not Jeremy Maclin, their receiver, is actually out. If he's out for the game, it will be difficult. But the way this team is playing, I mean, they're doing everything right.
And you know what's even more impressive? They take an 11-0 on the road record to New England next week.
That's amazing.
Right.
Interestingly, and somebody texted this to us last night. I knew this, but someone, I don't recall who did it, but I'd give him credit if I could remember. The Royals, the Kansas City Royals, won the World Series in October. The Chiefs have not lost a game since the Royals won the World Series. So that was a good game. And then in the afternoon, you had a very contentious game between the Bengals and the Steelers. And the Bengals were the better team, Tone. They were the more. They were the more talented team. They had the better roster, the deeper roster. They had fewer injuries.
Mm.
And it was a tight game. And we looked at the Bengals, and we thought, well, you know, the Bengals have not won a playoff game in 24 seasons. So this might be the year they can finally do it. They've played well the entire season. Their quarterback, Andy Dalton, got hurt a few weeks ago. He's out, so you're going, wow, the one chance that the Bengals have. They're going in with a backup quarterback, and they did, and they still had an opportunity to win the game. They led. They had the opportunity to win the game. They were ahead by a score of, I think, 16-15.
Yeah.
And with a minute 27 to go, they had the ball. Jeremy Hill, their running back, fumbled the ball. The Steelers recovered. The Steelers threw two passes down the field, caught one. The second one was incomplete pass, but a guy by the name of Vontaze Burfict, who was far from that yesterday, took a cheap shot at the Steeler receiver, 15-yard penalty, first down. Then another, they get into a bit of an altercation on the field. The players do, and one of the coaches.
Yep.
And Adam Pac-Man Jones, who's one of the dumbest players in the NFL, he's made more idiotic decisions than probably anybody, got penalized for lunging at one of the coaches. Extra 15 yards.
Takes him within 35 yards. Field goal.
Field goal.
Boswell.
That's right.
All
good
over.
Night. See you later. Bye-bye, Bengals. Bengals
stupid.
Now 25 seasons, quarter century since they last won a playoff game. And the Steelers, you got to give credit to Ben Roethlisberger, their quarterback. He got sacked by Vontaze Burfict earlier.
That's like Richmond's record.
It is, isn't it?
It's been that long since we've won a finals game.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Maybe it's all about to change.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all about to change.
And
just,
then, and
just
then,
don't,
and,
just don't
hang on,
cheap
what's
shot
the,
people.
What's the comparison? The Richmond?
Well, that's right. They're
well,
both
they're
Tigers.
The Tigers. They're both Tigers.
That's
How's
right.
That?
They're both Tigers. So what we had was the Steelers quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, going down. He was actually out of the game for a while. He came back on with an injured shoulder. Very difficult, Tone, to throw with an injured shoulder. I'm here to tell you it is.
Yeah.
And led his team down the field. They move on to the next round. They're going to play Denver. And that's a winnable game. Denver has a very good
with an injured
defense.
Shoulder?
Well, it depends on, we're going to have to see how healthy he is. But
if they don't have Roethlisberger?
Then they're going to go with the guy, they'll go with a guy named Landry Jones, if not Michael Vick.
Michael Vick's okay.
Yeah, look, you'd rather have Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
You'd rather have Ben
Of course you could.
You'd rather have Ben Roethlisberger.
If you could, yeah, you would.
So
sure.
that sets up what should be two really good games next weekend in the AFC, and then today we had the NFC games, and you had this morning, my goodness, it was negative 17 degrees, Tone. Negative.
Did you see the steam, not the steam, but the breath coming out?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It was just amazing.
Yeah, it was 1 degree, well actually it was negative 1 degree, Fahrenheit, which I think is a negative 17, negative 18 degrees. So it was as cold as could be. That going into the game, you knew, at least I did, and most people would have assumed, that was going to neutralize the Seahawks. Seahawks have a better quarterback than the Vikings do, and typically what happens is when you get something like weather will neutralize the better team, kind of bring them back down to earth. And what we saw was that the Seahawks were very slow to wake up. Wasn't until the fourth quarter that they sort of came around. And it was, again, on a great play by their quarterback, Russell Wilson, who put his team into scoring position. They got a touchdown. They later kicked a field goal. Then it was pretty much a defensive battle. And with the Vikings got the ball, drove the ball down the field, set up for Blair Walsh, their place kicker, to kick a chip shot 27-yard field goal. He missed. Wide left. I mean, wide left. He missed by 10 yards.
Mm.
His team loses. So that's an opportunity to put your team into the next round of the playoffs. And they weren't able to do it. So if you are a Seahawks fan, you are breathing a sigh of relief because you guys were on the ropes. And they were hauling off and just putting haymakers into the side of your head. And all at once, the guy just collapsed of a stroke. And you were able to get out of there okay. So it was that was an interesting one. So next week, that sets up Seattle. Going to play Carolina. Carolina beat Seattle in Seattle 27-23 a few weeks ago. Should be a pretty good game, I would say. And then the afternoon game, we had obviously the Packers, who had been awful, going to Washington, who had actually been pretty good. And I saw, when I looked at that game, I said, you know, everything I've seen tells me that the Redskins should win the game because they've played better down the stretch. The Packers have been atrocious. But when I looked at who the Redskins had played during the season, it wasn't impressive. They had three games against difficult teams, and they got smoked in all three. So I didn't buy the Redskins, Tony. I'm sorry. That's why I picked the Packers to win. As bad as they've been, I thought they're going to come in, they're going to play well. It's a playoff team. You know, champions kind of rise to the occasion.
I thought the Packers would win, but I just got excited.
Did you? Well, they were.
The
guys,
Redskins got up early.
You had an 11-zip lead there. Yeah, you did. I think what happened was the pack just got some confidence. I think they started to play with confidence. If you watched them the first six games of the year.
Got a good offense.
Well, they're not what they were, but they had a balanced offense today. They distributed the ball around pretty well, and they got some good runs out of the backfield. So what they showed today was a balanced offense. Typically, a team playing well will have a balanced offense. Balanced offense, what that does is it keeps the defense off balance.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you're going to get from a defensive perspective. And you're sitting there and you're going, are they going to run? Are they going to pass? What are they going to do? They do both of them effectively. It's difficult to defend. So that sets up what should be a pretty – well, they're going to play Arizona, the Packers are. The Packers were destroyed by Arizona. I think Arizona's the best team left in the playoffs. And I think Arizona will smoke the Packers next week in Arizona. But it'll still be a lot of fun to watch.
We'll talk more about that and more about what's happening over in the world of America very shortly. Steve, I just got to do something here because...
What do you got to do?
Seems like I might have upset someone at some point. So for anybody that I've ever upset on this station with my comments, including Mark from Frankston, I sincerely apologize.
That's nice of you to say
that's
that.
That's all right. My attitude is that
we sit here and we speak from the heart most of the time,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, I give you is honest. You might not always agree. You might not always like it, but it's honest. And I think that, you know, if I've upset some, I don't like upsetting people, don't I?
I upset Mark from Frankston. He's a Collingwood supporter, and I called him a loser apparently at some stage. So I apologize for that.
That's really nice of you to do. Yeah. Is that kind of your new thing in 16 where you're just going to be
just going to be right up front.
Good man. Good man.
And Hayden in Fitzroy, mate, I don't believe I'm guessing. Have a look. I don't think I'm talking uninformed gibberish. Have a look. I'm pretty sure you'll find that the AFL does own the marketing rights to all the club names and logos and all that sort of stuff. And they actually license those names out to the clubs and anyone that wants to make any AFL type merchandise, such as t-shirts and all that sort of stuff, they have to buy the license of that team name and logo off the AFL. So I'm pretty sure I'm not uninformed and I'm not talking gibberish, but
you do talk gibberish as well as anybody.
Sometimes I do, but I don't think I'm on that one.
No, I think you might be spot on. I know that.
And
I can
Hayden,
tell you
if
this:
if I upset you, Hayden, by coming up with that comment, then I sincerely apologize.
I do know that if you're with the NFL, you can't simply just go and place a jersey. You know, put a jersey together, put a team name onto it. Yeah. There are some rules around that.
Yeah. We'll take a break. 3:25, and thank you to everyone who's accepted my apology off the SMS. Really appreciate that. Stephen, who will be the next 49ers coach?
That comes to us from Couchy and Eltham. Now, Couchy, did you name yourself Couchy, or was that? Because I don't think you can gloss yourself with a nickname. I think
surname's Couch. Remember we used to have a guy called Chris Couch that used to work on SEN, who's now known as Chris Appleford.
Did he marry somebody and change his name?
Been off alcohol for the last couple of years.
Good for him. Or you've been off alcohol.
No, he has.
I remember the name Chris Couch.
Chris Appleford, yeah. I saw him on the Today Show or something a couple of days ago. We should actually get him in for an interview. This would be a good interview.
Yes.
Yeah, and he hasn't touched alcohol for a couple of years because his wife he couldn't drive his wife home after she had her baby or something because he had a big night out with the boys.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things where you want to be... I mean, I think we can all look back as guys, and probably women as well. You could look back on things you're kind of going, ah. And it doesn't necessarily have to be alcohol-related, but we've all done something where we kind of go, oh, yeah, probably didn't handle that right. A little self-reflection. We didn't call him Couchy?
Yeah, he used to.
We called him Couchy as well. Okay.
But I think this is a different Couchy.
Couchy and Eltham. I assumed that it meant...
Who's going to coach the 49ers?
Well, there are a few names that are being talked about. One is Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson was the Raiders coach. He's presently, at least as of yesterday, was the offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals. The thing I will say about coaches and getting excited about coaches is it's very difficult to win if you don't have good players.
Yeah.
And...
And also very difficult to win if you know nothing about coaching.
That's right. There's
the analogy about you and I on the plane.
Well, that's exactly right. Jim Tom Sulatone was never should have never been hired. I mean, it's one of those things where let's say Richmond, which all of a sudden they Hardwick leaves or gets fired. Actually, he gets fired.
Yeah.
And then they go, what are we going to do next? And then they say, oh, wait a sec. We've got a strength and conditioning coach who's been a strength and conditioning coach with us for 7 years. He was once in the juniors for 1 year. He was a senior coach, or I don't know if you call it a senior coach, but a head coach is what we'd call it in the States. He was like the main coach of a juniors club. Yeah, he did great. He was great in the under-18s. And you take this guy above all other people, and you put him as the senior coach at Richmond.
Well, Neil
Craig. And things don't go well.
Neil Craig, the former Adelaide coach.
I remember Neil Craig.
Was an exercise physiologist.
I do remember Neil Craig, and that didn't work out too well for Neil, did it?
Oh, but no, he was a good, yeah.
Did he win a title? No.
No, he didn't win a flag.
No,
but
he didn't.
Got them to the finals.
Well, a lot of that was talent. He had a lot of talent on those clubs.
Yeah.
One thing about Adelaide, I've watched AFL now for...
So you can't just be a good man manager. You can't just be good with people, can you? You've got to understand the nuances.
Well, you have to understand the game, but the nice thing about the NFL, Tone, is that the head coach, I say this, head coach is like he's the one. I call him ones and twos. He's a leader of men. Hmm. He's a guy who can command a room. He's a guy who... can influence people positively. He's a guy who can relate to everybody. He understands how to push buttons. He understands how... There's a lot of psychology in being a head coach. There's no psychology, probably not none, but very little psychology in being a coordinator. What a coordinator does is he sits in a dark room and he watches film and he studies the film and finds weaknesses in the opposition that he can exploit by creating new plays. That's what he does. So oftentimes what a lot of these guys will do, these head coaches are
Okay, so explain a coaching setup then in an AFL club. Because the AFL setup is you've got the head coach and he has assistants. The assistants are normally in charge of a line, like the midfielders, the forwards, the backs.
Same thing in the
NFL.
They
work with them throughout the deal, at quarter time, half time, the like. They talk to them, have a chat to them. NFL's exactly the same?
Exactly the same. You've got a head coach, and the head coach fronts the media. He's the face of your organization. He's a CEO, and what he does is he delegates. He's got an offensive coordinator who then has his staff, quarterbacks coach, receivers coach, running backs coach, offensive line coach. They all work together, and S flows downhill in a football team. It does, and so that's how it does. So essentially, that's what happens. So who will coach the next
line? And explain this to me too, because once again, I'm not fully au fait with the NFL system, but I reckon that the best coaches have been teachers before they were a coach. They taught at school. They've taught in some sort of form.
There's
guys like David Park and a lot of teachers in the AFL who also were coaches.
I think there's definitely something to that. There is an element of teaching. There's an element. I think that coaches, the best coaches, understand people as much as they understand football.
Yeah.
Which is kind of to your point. You understand how to...
Well, you know how to relate to people.
That's exactly
right. You know how to pass on information so that information is retained.
You communicate effectively. In those because there's certain coaches that don't do that. They're like a bull in a china shop. Where they're like, this is the way it's going to be, and blah, blah, blah. And they yell and they scream. And when they come out, I got yelled at a lot as a kid. And they sit there and they'd yell at us and spit would fly out of their mouth and it would hit you in the... Oh, it was just disgusting, right? All I could think about was, oh, man, that guy just spit on my face. And all I'd hear was yelling.
Gross.
And yeah.
Yeah.
But if somebody would
Did you used to have the cane and the strap at school in the States?
I went to a Catholic school, and I got beaten by the teachers a lot, actually.
Yeah.
In the 70s, there was a lot of...
So did I.
A lot of swatting kids. That's what kids today don't understand. Like, I tell my kids, I'm like, you guys don't get it.
No, they got it easy.
Back in my day, I mean, I remember, and this is the interesting thing, like, if somebody hits your kids now at school... The minute you find out, you're going to drop whatever you're doing. You're going to go have a conversation with the principal and the teacher.
Yep.
You're going to demand that something be done.
Yep.
So I'm in fifth grade, which is, 10 years old. And it's first day of school, and I'm going to a Catholic school. It was a co-ed school.
In Sacramento?
In Sacramento, yeah. St. Charles, Borromeo. Yep. And I walk in, and I haven't seen my friends, right, all summer. Because baseball, we played until July, and then everybody kind of... baseball, he played until August, and you're off a month. Some of these guys I didn't see all summer long.
So there's high fives all over the place.
Oh, it's all kinds of stuff. Anyway, Sister Lanny Joe was her name, and she had facial hair. And Sister Lanny Joe comes up to me and grabs me by the hair and just slaps me. Foosh, foosh. Right cheek, left cheek. Bam, bam. And I sat there, and then she started yelling at me, and I don't remember specifically what she said, But I remember the look on everyone's faces was like, oh, wow. And she established that she was the leader, right? And this is what
she's alpha male.
She was the alpha male. She had more facial hair than any of the rest of us did. But what strikes me is I went home that night and complained to my parents. And I said, Mom, Dad, I want to get out of St. Charles. I want to go to St. Anne's.
And they said, deserved yourself. Right. They said, must have deserved it.
That's exactly what they said. They go, they spanked you? She slapped you in the face? I went, yeah. Well, you must have done something to deserve that. Wasn't even like, wow, that's unfair. Are you okay, Steve? No, none of that.
No.
So parents today.
How dare you?
How is it though that as parents that we have made that quantum leap where we're like, whoa, 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 we got slapped, but we don't want people slapping our kids? Because honestly, I think the problem today is that we're not slapping our kids enough.
That's another story for another time. Mario out at South Morang wants to slap the Bengals, I reckon. G'day, Mario.
Gentlemen, how are we?
Mario.
I've been better. I'm disgruntled, angry, frustrated.
Yeah, you got every right to be.
All the above. I've got two questions for you, but before I ask those two questions, inexcusable, Vontae Berfic and Pac-Man Jones.
Right.
Inexcusable what they did, their actions.
Absolutely, moronic.
Right, no excuse. But my question to you, I've got two questions. My first question is, who was he yelling at? Pac-Man Jones. He was yelling at Joey Porter.
Yeah, Joey Porter.
A defensive coach.
Right.
Standing in the middle of the field in between play. I know Antonio Brown was on ground and he got the cheap shot from Berfic.
That's right.
In between a defensive coach while their offensive was on the ground, trash talking, the Bengal players trash talking in front of the referee, no flag. That's why Pac-Man Jones was going off the referee, and that's why he got the flag, which he deserved. He shouldn't do that.
Right.
Nothing gets done. Nothing gets said about Joey Porter. And no punishment, I should say. Not nothing gets said.
Right.
No punishment. That's what I think. That's why he went crazy. That's why I was going crazy too. Because I'm just looking. He's just standing there in the middle of the ground during the game, in between plays, trash talking plays. That's like an AFL, one of the coaches for the defense in between quarters during a play, going out in the middle of the field, trash talking any AFL player, and no one does anything about it. Unheard of.
No, yeah. It was.
And nothing gets done.
Well, I'll tell you what I think hurt the Bengals. Number one, it was stupidity. I mean, you can't teach stupid, or you can't help stupid. I feel stupid. Stupid is as stupid does. Who said it?
That was the man that.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump, or somebody. No, I think his mom may have said it to him.
She said everything.
Mm. But at any rate, I think the problem is that, I mean, they brain farted in the worst way possible. They cost their team the game. But unfortunately for Pac-Man Jones, he's got a record. I mean, this is not the first time he's screwed up. He's gotten a lot of trouble. He's been pretty good, I think, the last few years. But the first few years of his career, he was always getting into trouble. So he's known as a troublemaker. And so it's quite similar to somebody who gets pulled over by the police for maybe going 10 km over the limit or something down Swan Street, and if you've got no priors, no record whatsoever, they might let you go. But if you got four or five priors and you've sped before,
they're gonna want to talk to you.
They're gonna throw the book at you.
Yeah.
And so I think that unfortunately for him, he's just not smart. You gotta have presence of mind.
Is that cutting material? Do you get cut from a list for doing that?
Yeah, I'd cut him. I mean, that's what happens when you. That's a big dilemma. That he's a very talented player, and he actually had a good game. And Berfic had a really good game. Berfic's the one who sacked Roethlisberger and put him out of the game. But to me, when I compare the two plays, Berfic's is actually worse, because Berfic. I mean, the pass that Roethlisberger threw was incomplete. And then Berfic went and put his shoulder and helmet into the helmet of, I think it was Antonio Brown, the receiver. And that's why he got a 15-yard penalty.
Mm.
And then Joey Porter, the coach, came out because he was only playing a few years ago. He's a pretty aggressive guy himself, so he gets into it with people. And then Pac-Man Jones comes over. And had Berfic not done what he did, Adam Jones would not have been in a position to do what he did. And they could have won the ball game. So I do. I feel bad for Bengal fan. I really do. And I feel bad for the coach. I feel bad for Marvin Lewis because he's been a good coach. He's got a good team, but he's 0-7 in playoffs. And unfortunately, those are the things that get coaches fired.
Mm. Mm. Good on you, Murray. Thank you for your call. Do appreciate it. Brett from St. Albans says, if the Bengals fell into a barrel full of nipples, I'd come out sucking thumbs.
Yeah, listen, they're not the smartest team. They're not. I often say
it's just not lucky.
It's stupid. Bad luck, it's stupidity. About it, there's it? Some bad luck. Some franchises, Tony, you might know something about this, are cursed. Some are. You heard about the curse of the Bambino. Boston Red Sox did not win from 1917, whatever, 86.
Well, we've got it here with Melbourne.
86 years. Melbourne since the 1950s. I mean, Western Bulldogs haven't won it since 54, right?
Don't know if they're cursed, though. They've just been bad.
St. Kilda hasn't won it since 66. St. Kilda got screwed in 2010, if you ask me. I think the ball
went left instead of right, didn't it, or something?
I just remember watching it going, oh, man, that would have been nice to have the Saints as premiers. But I just look at it and I think you've got to be smart. And I'll say this all the time. Being good looking is great. Being tall is great. Having hair is great. Being funny is great. But all those
things. Like yourself. You're talking about yourself here.
That's funny. But being smart is best. Smart wins. I mean, you take a look at the people that are making it happen in life. They're smart.
I think it'd be smart for us to take a break.
They understand the room, Tone.
Let's be smart. We're taking a break. Tony Shebeke with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Steve Salisbury, you're in the studio with me until 4.
Yeah, I'll be here till 4.
Cool.
I'll be here till 4, and I would just say that...
And we should mention, too, don't forget Francis Leach and David Swartz back together in 2016. Breakfast with Frank and the Ox starts Monday, January 18 at 6.
I've got some concerns about Dave at the moment.
The Ox, why?
Yeah, well, just because I was in Anglesey last week, and I texted him to say I was going to take the kids to his place. Because he's got a bounce castle or bounce place in...
Fantastic place.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
Okay, what city is it?
Geelong.
So it's in Geelong.
Well, it's just outside of Geelong.
Well, he lives,
I think it's, yeah.
He's in Bowen Heads. He's in Bowen Heads. So it's in that general area, and I was in Anglesey. So I was going to go, and I think everyone should check it out. So I'm like, look, I'm going to come by. And he texts back, and he goes, oh, I'm in such and such a place. He was up in New South Wales. I didn't know where it was. I had to Google it. So he goes, oh, I'm up in New South Wales. When are you going to be in? And I wrote back, and I asked him a question, and he came back, and I don't think he was answering me because he said to Supertramp.
That's what it's called, Supertramp.
Oh, it's called.
That's what it's called, yeah, Supertramp.
Supertramp.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, I didn't...
Because it's full of trampolines.
Right, yeah, I get it, trampoline. Yeah.
Yeah,
Supertramp. It's very catchy. But anyway, I just thought I'd go, Dave, because I had one question and he couldn't answer it. In the end, we didn't go, but I'm hoping that everything's fine with him. I'm hoping everything is fine.
I'm sure it will be. You want to say something about coaches?
Well, just so you've got the someone asked a question about the 49ers. Who's going to be their coach? Hugh Jackson is one of the names that's being talked about. There's also the name Mike Shanahan. There's Chip Kelly. There is Mike Holmgren. The Niners would never look at Mike Holmgren, but they have that team as much as any of the other teams that are looking for coaches has to get this one right, because again, they stuffed it up so badly last time. They have to get it right. Hugh Jackson is, as I said, he's the offensive coordinator for Cincinnati. Everybody says, I mean, he was a good coach really for the Raiders when he was there. They had no talent. They had really bad salary cap issues, but he did a pretty good job, so he might be a good candidate. Mm. He's done a good job with Cincinnati, but what I would say is that he's had good players in Cincinnati. Unfortunately, going back out to San Francisco, he's not going to have good players if he's indeed the guy. So... it'll be interesting. We should know in the next couple of days. Because he interviewed with the Niners, and he was interviewing with Cleveland Browns.
Okay. Simo out of Chelsea wants to know, Steve, if the Celtics are tanking, they've been dropping some games that they should have won lately.
No, I don't think they're tanking. I don't think that they're tanking. As a matter of fact,
at some point, though, in a season, in a long NBA season, you have to pull back a fraction. I'm not saying tanking.
Your
training intensity wouldn't be as hard.
They're over 500, they are. And they were a playoff team last year. They weren't. I think they won 39 games last year. They weren't a 500 team. They're a well coached team. Brad Stevens, their coach, young guy, probably 36, 37, doing a really good job. The thing I would say is that if you look at the NBA, teams that start slow and finish strongly, that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, oh, look at the Warriors, 34-2 or whatever their record is. It's really impressive, right? It's really impressive. But no finesse team has gone on a prolonged title run. All right, you need to be tough, and I think what you see before Christmas is not indicative of what you're going to see later in the year. Teams are pretty vanilla; they're just trying to get. It's a long season, as you just said, and teams want to get through the season in one piece. You don't want to have a lot of injuries, and you want to start to get some momentum going February, March, April, right? Mm-hmm. So that come May, June, you're rolling.
Yeah.
So I would expect that you'll see Cleveland play better down the stretch. I would expect that you'll see the Spurs play better down the stretch. Right now, I said this last year, I said Cleveland's going to win it. I think Cleveland wins it this year. I do. I think they've got the best players. I think that they've got the toughness. The only team I think that can beat them this year is San Antonio, but San Antonio has age issues potentially with Tim Duncan being, gosh, Tim Duncan's got to be 38 now. Mm. Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, they're all older. So we'll see.
Back on to Gridiron, we've got college football happening. Big game, isn't it, between Alabama and Clemson, numbers 1 and 2.
This is going to be a lot of fun. This will be a lot of fun.
So this is the national championship.
This is the national championship. So the BCS was created years ago, and what they wanted to do with the BCS is create a system that was actually decided on the field. Because previous to the BCS, the riders would essentially just pick a team. We think they're the best team. They're number one, and if they won that game, then they'd have a poll.
That's silly.
It was stupid.
That's silly.
It was stupid. So what's happening now is they created this bowl championship series where there's a little bit of the play on the field and there's a little bit of voting. So it's not 100% as it should be. There's still a human element to it or maybe a subjective element to it. I'd like it to be completely objective and settled on the field. But what we've got now is we've got the playoff system. So you had the four games. You had Michigan State and Alabama. Alabama won that. You had Clemson. And who was Clemson playing? I'm drawing a blank on who Clemson played. Doesn't matter. But you had Clemson won that game. And so now, Clemson beat Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
37-17, big win.
Yeah, it was a big win. So you got Clemson and Alabama playing for the national championship.
Alabama played Michigan, yeah, 38-0.
That's right. They smoked him. So Clemson and Alabama for the national championship. I mean, Clemson is new. Like they've been a decent team for a while, but this year they've really come on strongly. They got a coach whose name is Dabo.
Of course it is.
Dabo. And he's
playing, that's his whole name.
And he's was his,
like Madonna.
Well, Dabo Swinney.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I think that when you take a look at these two teams, I mean Alabama, they're in it every year. They've got Nick Saban who's got a factory down there. I mean Alabama's always tough. Look, I would like to see Clemson do it. Based on what I saw, and I saw little of the previous games, you kind of go, wow, beating Michigan State 38-0 is pretty impressive. So you kind of go, well, their defense is tight and everything else, and Alabama's got the tradition and all the rest. Maybe Alabama's a team to go with. But I'm going to say that Clemson accounts quite well for themselves.
Okay. A bit of ice hockey talk wanted from one of our listeners. Wants to know if the Dallas Stars are the real deal.
No, they're not. Is that enough
next
ice hockey talk?
Yeah, I'll talk about the Dolphins and their coaching appointment.
So I don't know that the Dolphins have hired anybody yet, but...
Is it Gaze?
Adam Gase? They hired Adam Gase, huh?
What do you think about Gaze's appointment at Dolphins?
Oh, okay. I did not know that they hired him.
There
we go. Very good knowledge. Adam Gase was... I heard a lot of people... So he interviewed last year. He's 37 years old. Everybody who's worked with him, quarterbacks have worked with him, have all said he's fabulous. He's supposed to be, like, he's been very good with Jay Cutler. He's helped Jay Cutler out a lot. Previous to that, he worked with Peyton Manning. Everybody's been very complimentary of him. He's young. He's supposed to be ready. I didn't know they hired him, but I wish him well. I think the problem, again, with the Dolphins is not so much that they didn't have the right coach, but that they went and paid too much money for Ndamukong Suh. And in a salary cap game, salary cap league, you have to use the money accordingly. They went out and put a ton of money, guaranteed money, into Ndamukong Suh's pocket. Now, he's a force on defense, but what that does is that limits their ability to go out and get other people who can add to their team.
Ndamukong, has he got a brother called Omgana?
That's good. Very, very good. I don't know that he does.
Mm.
Ndamukong Suh, one of the meanest players on the field, but a good guy off.
We'll take a break. 10-4. Steve Salisbury in the studio with me as well. Steve, earlier on you mentioned NFL in LA.
Yes.
What the hell's happening there?
Three teams, the Rams, the Chargers, the Raiders, all applied last week for their transfer papers to Los Angeles. There are...
Only one can go.
No, they could. The league could actually put as many as they like
out
there.
Yeah, they could, but they won't.
It would make, in my mind, it would, in my personal opinion, it would make no sense.
You're not going to go from 0 to 3.
No, you wouldn't. I would put the Rams there.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, they were there for 48 years. They should have never left. The second thing is that their owner, the Rams owner, Stan Kroenke, is one of the richest men in America, worth about $6.5 billion, I'm told. And he has land and a stadium to build. So he's going to build a stadium. He's got the land. Move the Rams out there. Make them the LA Rams again. They should have never left, in my opinion. Boom, there you go. The other two teams, the Chargers. Chargers, for years, the management, the owners of Spanos family, who are actually from my neck of the woods. They're just south of Sacramento. They have tried for years to get the city of San Diego to play ball, and they won't. The city of San Diego, I believe, funded, or at least partially funded, a stadium for the Padres downtown called Petco Park. Beautiful place to watch a baseball game, and I'm sure it's great to play there. But they've just neglected the Chargers. Mm. And I don't know that I'd say that San Diego is more of a baseball town than it is a football town, but it is unfortunate that they've gotten into this situation. And my fraternity brother, Kevin Faulkner, is the mayor of San Diego.
I'll give him a call.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd take my call now. I don't believe he would.
Well, you're frat brothers.
We are frat brothers. That's right, brothers in heart through life, bro. What's up? Take my call. Yeah. Get this done. So there's an issue there. I don't know what's going to happen, but you would not want to be mayor of the team of the city at the time that the team left. And then the last team is the Raiders. The Raiders were in L.A. between 82 and 94. They want to go back. They're having issues getting the stadium built in Oakland. I would like the Raiders to stay in Oakland. I like the Oakland Raiders better than I like the L.A. Raiders. I think they're just – I think the city of Oakland needs them a lot more than the city of L.A. does.
We'll take a break. And one final question for you before we leave in just a tick. Steve Salisbury in until 4. Steve, for those cities or those teams that have applied to leave their current city and go to LA, what is the reception that they will receive from their current fans? Well, the current fans just say, well, bugger, if you don't want to stay here, then we're not going to follow you. I mean,
there's an element of that
make it
because
hard?
Fans get their feelings hurt, but what fans need to do is understand that it's a business to these guys, and they don't care about the team the way that you care about the team. So what happens is, because this is not the first time this has happened, winning will change that. Oftentimes it causes the city and the team to get back together to say, look, let's work something out. And everything will be fine. The people will, the teams will be forgiven. There may be some people who hate the ownership.
Mm.
But gosh,
just like
people
when Mr.
LA,
Burns tried to take the isotopes out of Springfield.
Is that I didn't? I never saw.
Was it Burns or was it just the owners of the isotopes?
Who are the isotopes?
And Homer Simpson.
Oh, see, I've never watched.
You've never watched The Simpsons?
No, I never have.
What?
I'd never watched The Simpsons. I don't watch a lot of TV, Tone.
But The Simpsons.
No, I know. I don't. I watched Seinfeld. A lot of Seinfeld. A lot of Sopranos. Some Entourage.
Entourage.
Mad Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, those types of things I've watched. I mean, Australians trip on the fact that I didn't watch that. And I never watched South Park either.
Yeah.
You neither?
You got problems.
Clearly, I've got problems.
We need
problems.
To chat. Okay. We'll do that during the news.
That sounds good.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Anytime, bro.
Might talk later in the week. Actually, let's do something maybe later in the week, and we'll talk about what's coming up week two of the playoffs.
That's going to be good, and I'm happy
I'll
to
get
it.
My people to talk to your people. We'll organize it.
Let's do that.
Done. Steve Salisbury joining me here. We're going